Hey, this is LOA Today, the Law of Attraction show. Truth, because I'm happy. Clap along if you know what happiness is to you. Because I'm happy. Clap along. Welcome to LOA Today. Walt Eason, Joel Elston on this Thursday, January 21st, 2016. And we're going to once again do something even more different than we did last week, as usual. I mean, this is like our pattern, Joel. We seem to come up with something completely wild every time.
Well, this week we spent a lot of energy on it. we decided 5 minutes before showtime.
Which is the way we often decide these things. But we always come up with these cool topics, so I guess it works, you know?
Absolutely.
But anyway, we decided that we were going to talk about what the frig is all this about. Which is a very common reaction to anybody who hears about positivity, positive psychology, law of attraction. They hear about it, and it's so outside their experience that it makes no sense whatsoever. And I went through that. I know I went through that long before I heard about what the law of attraction was. I was just telling you before we started doing the show, back in the 1980s, I was involved with organizations like A.L. Williams and Combined Insurance, W. Clement Stone's company, and we'd go to these conventions, and they'd be trying to raise our positive mental attitude up, and I'm thinking, what the frig are you people talking about?
It's so foreign to what we've been conditioned. It's amazing when you hear it, and even though when I first heard it, I had an attraction to the law of attraction, but my initial reaction was, in fact, if you thought positively, that actually was cursing you, or you were cursing yourself by thinking positively.
Yeah, you can actually get into that mental framework that says, oh, anytime I think about something positive, something negative happens to me.
Exactly. And I'm waiting for something good to happen, but I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop.
The other shoe. Yeah, there it is. That's the cliche. The other shoe is going to drop at any moment.
Right. And so so when you hear it in the beginning, when you come out of this possible lifetime way of negative thinking, and I originally heard it, just like your reaction, I immediately came up with all the objections that most people come up with. Well, what about children who were abused? What about this? What about that? And I had all the things that immediately came to sort of a blocking standpoint of, you know, blocking me using the law of attraction for my good. And it really was, I knew by my response it was touching something, because I was adamant. Even though I was attracted to it, I was looking for all the reasons it wouldn't work.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? Because we do sense that. We get so wrapped up in what's being told to us because it touches a nerve, and we don't understand why that nerve got touched.
Well, exactly. And you go back to when we were a show or two ago, when we were talking about a young man who has made some great strides in his life.
Oh, yeah, Bob.
Bob, yes. And he, you know, he's 14 years old and thriving. And he was much more receptive and did not have the, you know, what the heck attitude, or what is this? And it certainly wasn't Bob's response, because he didn't have that lifetime of resistance that was built up.
Well, what's wrong with him? No, I'm sorry.
Exactly. And that's what I've said before. So as we have spent a lifetime dealing with this, we get reactions or people telling you it doesn't work, or this is it's just silly, it's a religion that doesn't work, and you hear all these objections and you know, just are you kidding me? You can't be.
And I've heard it called a cult too. It's actually been described as a cult.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I want to know why I haven't been invited to the cult meetings, because I've been missing out.
I have not been invited. In fact, if you look at what a definition of a cult would be, this is actually the opposite of a cult. This is about it's putting responsibility on you, and this isn't about a collective following, you know, one thought process. It's within you, about you understanding you bring about what you think about, and it's such an amazing turn of thinking for us that we often get such a strong objection of, what the frick is this about? This is crazy. And people just just when they hear it, they want to tune it out, but there's a side of them that instinctively knows there's something to this.
You know, you said the word cult, and as you said it, I said, you know what, I'm going to look that up, see exactly what the definition of a cult is. And the first definition I found was, a cult is a system of religious veneration and devotion toward a particular figure or object. And I could see why people would say that. We're supposedly demonstrating religious veneration and devotion to the law of attraction.
Right. Well, and where I sort of go on the when I said it's sort of the opposite of a cult to me, well, we aren't, the law of attraction is not even telling you how to do it. It just is telling you this is what happens. It seems like I have never avoided one of our shows without comparing the law of attraction to gravity, and this will be one of the shows I don't avoid it. you know, we are not, gravity is not a cult. We don't view gravity. We don't have to believe in gravity. It doesn't care. Or if we do believe, nobody accuses you of following a cult-like belief. It's the fact that gravity exists, the law of gravity, the law of attraction, and it's that same mindset that people want to. This is not a religion. This is about. You can be a Christian. You can be in a cult and practice the law of attraction.
Actually, people in cults do practice the law of attraction. They just don't
exactly.
know.
Exactly. But the law of attraction itself is not a cult. And that's the concept, because the way of thinking is when you're focused on, you know, one object or one being or one person having this right idea, the law of attraction is just telling you this process works. How you manifest and what you bring about is up to you. It's not telling you what to think.
Right.
It's telling you what the process of how things come about.
Yeah, and that's true. And that's what's making it so difficult, I think, for people. The fact that the law of attraction, as you say, has no emotional content to it. And it has, in and of itself, it has no spiritual content. It has
right.
no content of any kind because...
Right.
Of the same reason that the law of gravity has no content.
It
is not something where the word content applies. It's simply a description of what happens within the universe. It's just this is a tendency that always holds true. Now, the one thing that is a little bit difficult and different about law of attraction versus law of gravity has certain physical laws we can describe mathematically. I don't know of any mathematical formulas for the law of attraction, unless you know of one, but I've never run across one. So I can see at least the point of those who say, well, it's not really the same thing.
Well, and I get that, because I don't know how you measure. We don't have the tools or the equipment or the understanding of that practice to measure it, and I agree with that. But when you look at how it does work and the evidence that I personally have in my life of how it does work, I manifested the law of attraction has been at work in my entire life. It has. And when I was in a very negative place, more negative consequences happened, and it kept getting worse and worse and worse. I felt I was cursed, and therefore I was cursed.
Well, I felt there were evil forces working against me.
That yes, and I tell people all the time that my work as you know, a counselor, life coach, and
right.
I hear people say frequently, the universe is working against me. I am cursed, and my response is, yes, you are.
Oh, you're so encouraging.
and their immediate reaction is what? I go, you are, because that's what you believe. It's the same version of, you know, there's hundreds of what I call hero kids out there that, you know, they've lost their leg to cancer and you know, you see them out there running on the little blade legs
and
you know, they're playing in all the sports. One young man has no arms, no legs, and somehow he's playing lacrosse at a high level. I don't know how.
That's astonishing all by itself.
It is. And so you see these people, what they've done is they've taken a circumstance and they, you know, there's not really an existence in the universe where you're saying losing your arms and legs could ever be a good thing, but they accept that as what it is. And then yet they go and live their lives. They go excel. They go, because their attitude and their perspective of, I want to be happy. I want to bring this to my life. And then the universe has no choice but to provide happiness. And most people would think having at least one arm or one leg would have a be a precursor to happiness, but this young man proves differently.
I'm not even sure I want to conceive of that, because the next thing I can imagine is I'll be losing an arm just so I can be happier. Like, no, I'm not really interested in going there.
No, no.
But still, it is a testament to how they take a bad circumstance and turn it into a positivity that they just don't allow it to get in their way. They actually get to the point where it isn't even part of their conscious mind anymore.
Well, and that's the piece that's what we get up with. Every moment that we get up, every day that we get up, and we what's going to happen that day is 99% out of our control. I can't control the weather. I can't control the drivers. I can't control other people. The stuff that was in my control is a very narrow band. My response to that, what happens to me, is 100% in my control.
Mm.
And that's the power, that's the human superpower that exists within us, that ability to dictate how we choose to view what happens. And once you adjust that meter, that you adjust it, and that's sort of the conduit for the law of attraction of, I will catch every red light. I laughed the other day. In fact, I unintentionally did a negative reverse law of attraction on me the other day.
Oh, really?
I was about 3 minutes late getting to my office, and according to the GPS, and traffic was really bad. And I go down this road that there's like six lights in a row, and I usually catch them green every time. For some reason, I don't know why, they were out of sync or I was out of sync, and I caught the first light. And it stopped me, and I'm like, oh, my goodness. And each one of these are pretty long lines. So I go to the, and it's probably about a half mile to the next light, and then a half mile, and I caught the second light. And I said, I'm going to catch every one of these lights. And Walt, I caught every one of the lights. I texted my client and said, I'm running 5 minutes late. I just laughed, because there is no way. When I got to the fifth light, I said, I know I'll catch the sixth one now. And sure enough, I caught the sixth one. I laughed, but yet coming back, I had, it was a great meeting with my client. Coming back, and I wasn't even paying attention. I didn't catch one of the lights coming back. Mm. Same road.
Mm-hmm.
Again, and people were maybe listening, going, okay, he's talking about street lights, and here's what I'm dealing with. But it becomes, our thoughts are become self fulfilling prophecies, and when you wake up and you say, this is going to be a great day. It has no option, if you really believe that, of being a great day, no matter what happens, because your response to it is going to make it a great day.
And the example you gave is really helpful on that score, because what it really does is it directly brings into play the whole concept of a, quote, coincidence, unquote.
Yes.
Because that's going to be the typical reaction. Well, that was only a coincidence. And that was my reaction for the longest time, even after learning about the law of attraction. It was only after quite some time that it finally occurred to me that the phrase, it's only a coincidence, is meaningless.
Right.
Because there is no such thing that is only a coincidence. I'm not saying there's no such thing as coincidences, because a coincidence is two things that coincide. They happen at the same time. That happens frequently. But to say only a coincidence means that there is no relationship between the two of them.
Well, and what I've learned is, you say that, yes.
And what I've learned is, every coincidence has a relationship. All of them do, which is astonishing. And I'm not sure I can even prove it to anybody, but I've finally begun to realize, any time that I had the opportunity to look deeper, I was always able to see that there was a connection. The only time
Absolutely.
That I couldn't see the connection is because I couldn't see any of the external details that could conceivably show a connection. All I could see were the two incidences.
That's exactly, when you look at how the law of attraction, it uses the tools of coincidence. I always said the tool of coincidence. By definition, I think we have dismissed it, and I like how you said only coincidence. An amazing coincidence. I believe they're intended to happen within the law of attraction. Countless times I have thought about somebody I have not seen in years, and within a week of me thinking about them, they've called or I've run into them. It's amazing how that happens for me. And, oh, it's a coincidence you ran it. I've been in an airport in, you know, Utah, where I know no one, and somebody had thought about 4 or 5 days before that, says, Joel? And we're like, oh, my gosh, are you kidding me? And it's just this random, you know, they're from New York, and I'm at the time was from Charlotte, and it's like, how are we meeting in some small airport in Utah?
Yeah.
But it just becomes, the energy that flows within us and all the power that we've been given, when people are astonished by their first reaction, their first hearing of the law of attraction, the defenses immediately come up because, first of all, you're challenging years of, and actually generations of programming.
Oh, yes.
And so they're almost in defense of why that can't work. And, you know, it's just the young man, Bob, that we talked about earlier, his story before he understood the law of attraction was, yes, my life is horrible. My mom was a drug addict. She died in prison when I was 8 years old. I was thrown into a horrible foster care system where nobody seemed to care. That could be his story, and he would be destined to probably just eventually be in prison and die a young man of a drug overdose is probably what would have happened. But what he did is he turned the entire – he said, I have overcome. This is what happened. This has made me stronger. I have survived this. If I can survive this, I am impenetrable. Nobody could defeat me. And so he now has an incredible spirit. He took the same set of circumstances and totally turned it around using the law of attraction. His perspective of it changed. With the toolbox within the law of attraction requires your perspective to change. And then that's sort of the meeting of where the law of attraction, you know, like you said, there's no tangible or that it has no there is a tool within there that the perspective has to match what you're manifesting. If I'm saying I want to be healthy and happy, but yet my perspective is I still can eat McDonald's every night and not take care of myself and not exercise, your perspective hasn't really changed. Just the law, you have to match with your perspective and your actions what is taking place with the mindset. And when you do that, then it all starts to change.
The other thing that goes along with this concept of only a coincidence, there's a second truism, if you will, in the realms of logic and scientific research, which is that correlation is not causation.
Yes.
And it's true. Correlation is not causation. But there's an inherent assumption made in that statement that people gloss over. And I want to touch on that one for a moment.
Sure.
Because first of all, let's look at the concept. The concept is you see you're a scientist, you're observing some phenomena, and in the course of observing that phenomena, you see correlations. You see as A happens, you also see B happening. And as C happens, you also see D happening. And the tendency is to say, well, A must be causing B, C must be causing D. The caution in the phrase correlation is not causation is basically to point out that just because you see a correlation doesn't mean that one's causing the other. It just means
right.
There's a correlation going on. And so you don't want to assume, therefore, that you have proven what it is that causes cancer, for instance, or what is a cure for cancer based on your scientific observations. That's a very valid point. But the part that gets overlooked is people, particularly scientists, but also people in general, they look at this concept, correlation is not causation, and they assume that therefore it means that correlation does not mean relationship.
Right.
And they forget what the word correlation means. The root of the word correlation is to correlate. Well, the root of the word is relationship.
So
there's a relationship. It's just not causal, that's all.
And that's where we get lost with a lot of different things because it's such a this is where the fine tuning of the law of attraction comes in. This is where we tend to overthink it. This lady told me this week, totally random. I'm in line at Target just picking up a couple of items, and this lady in front of me, she looks at me and she said, and I found this on the internet and posted it. It's not happy people who are thankful, it's thankful people who are happy.
Mm.
And I'm like, well, first of all, that was extremely random for her. That's all she said.
That was it? There was no preamble or anything?
No preamble. She just turned around and said those words. And so, I'm like, I said, you know, you're absolutely right. And that was the extent of our conversation. But when I have someone, when I, you know, again, the coincidence of me being in line behind somebody, you know, saying that, it was a reinforcer for my day that I am thankful and happy. It's not you act as if, or you live as if you are what you're wanting, and then that's what the universe has to provide. If you're happy, the things that go along with being happy are going to automatically come into your life. It's just you're not going to have financial worries. You're not going to have, but as long as you're focused on the other side, it's the anticipation of the lack of money and all the other stuff. You're certainly bringing that to yourself. And so you look over the years of what you've been trained, and all of a sudden somebody's telling you everything you know is different. You don't have much response other than, what the frick are you talking about? You're crazy. And yeah. It elicits that response because it would, to them, most people would love it if this were the case, but they just can't step into the role of doing it because it does cause this leap that you're talking about, a leap of faith that we have been talking about, to sort of, this is going to work.
Well we might love it, but we're also, most of us, afraid of it.
Yes. With it comes a lot of responsibility. There, if you have, you know, the understanding that how powerful our thoughts are, and if you spend a day, I have my clients often do a thought journal, where throughout the day they, you know, at 10 a.m. they're writing down randomly, write down what you're thinking, what is your thought, how are you feeling about yourself, all, and we have sort of a list of things to do, a checklist. When you really realize how negative our thoughts probably are during the day, anticipating the worst, negative self-doubt, I'm not very good at this, you'll be shocked that we're able to get anything done because there's an inner force working against us.
And the inner force is our own thought process.
It is. It's our inner dialogue and our thought process. The anticipation of the stuff that is so negative, and yet we can say whatever we want to say, but when your inner dialogue is universally opposite of what you're saying, then that's where the results sort of get lost. And getting people to expound on this in their lives when they have what they believe is, which I think is anecdotal evidence of all the years, you know, they're not understanding that the law of attraction, as you said earlier, has no emotion. Well, my life has sucked to this point. Every bad thing that could have happened, and that's just what I'm expecting. I'm like, yes, exactly.
I'm glad you finally understood that.
Yeah. And so you know, when you can point out that your negative thoughts have brought you all the negative stuff, and it's just, you know, one lady that was on Oprah's show not too terribly long ago, I happened to be turning through the channel, saw her, and she was talking about how grateful she was when she was diagnosed with cancer.
Yeah, I've always reacted badly to those, in the past anyway, not so much recently, but in the past I always said, how on earth can you be possibly grateful about being diagnosed with cancer? That's the stupidest thing I ever heard.
Exactly, and the her, if I remember correctly, her statement, what it was she was diagnosed with a very curable, simple form of some type of cancer that has like a 95% cure rate, no big deal. So she said, when that happened, you hear you have cancer. But in their further, when they were investigating further, they found something else that they caught very, very early that was very curable early, that if they would have waited a year, probably would have been fatal. So The diagnosis of cancer led to the discovery of what would eventually been a fatal event. And they were able to get hold of it and take care of it. And it was very rare, and I wish I remembered all the details. But the point was, she said, I was so focused on the negativity of being diagnosed with cancer, but when they discovered this other stuff, my first reaction was, oh, my God, see, it's piling up. I had a cancer, now I got this other condition, and then I think it was some type of cancer as well. And her husband pointed out, said, honey, if you weren't diagnosed with this silly form of cancer, which you've already taken care of, this fatal form of cancer wouldn't have been discovered because nobody would have been searching for it this early. And so she was able to turn her perspective around, and she's cancer free for 5 years now on all levels.
That's really great. It also makes me wonder, the woman who you were standing in line with, who came out with that out of the blue phrase about being thankful before you're happy.
Right.
We rarely know what the preamble is, unless they actually happen to include us in the preamble. But we rarely know what it is. We rarely know what the thought process was leading up to it. And that one is such an unusual event that it makes me wonder what was going on in her head. Because, as you pointed out, most of the time, most of the thoughts going through our head are negative. We are trained to be thinking negatively. Our entire society is oriented toward thinking negatively. Everything's no, 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 no. And so that's what we learn very dutifully to do. We're very good at it. And here's somebody who's in an exceptional situation. All of a sudden, she's thinking positively. What changed? That's what I wonder.
Well, and that's the thing that goes on. What you know, at that moment, what happens when she's sitting there with me, standing in line with me, and then all of a sudden she turns around and says this thankful statement? What happened in her mind? What made her turn around specifically to me and say that?
Interesting that she picked you to say it. There are other people in this line, I presume, and yet she picked you to turn around to and say it to.
Right, and you know, again, we had no contact. We hadn't even had a eye contact before that moment where she just turned around and said that. So, me being who I am, I actually wanted to talk to her and say, you know, first of all, thank you. I didn't. I should have. My drive was to talk to her and tell her what I believe and ask her what made her turn around. I wish I would have at this point.
Yeah, right.
You know, what is going on in your life that you know, first of all, it's a very great message. It's a message that you know, I certainly am a huge believer in, but it's just the piece that I don't know the process at work with that. And I think that you and I both believe that there's so much more to it than we have discovered.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, we've only scratched the surface. It's so incredibly powerful that we don't know how to use it all the way yet. Clearly.
And you and I are just as programmed as everybody else. I mean, we're basically fighting our programming. We're saying, yeah, to heck with you, out the window with you. But that doesn't mean it just goes away right away. We're still dealing with this stuff on a day-to-day basis. But what makes it different is we're now aware of this other side. And so when something like this happens with the example of the woman in the line with you, it shocks our system because it's against what we're used to hearing. So even though we're already primed to say, yes, I believe in the law of attraction. Yes, I can tell that coincidences are not just coincidences. There's actually some kind of relationship going on there, even though I can't see it. Despite having that knowledge, our programming overcomes us and says, oh, I'm in shock. Somebody did something out of the norm.
Yeah. And that's the piece that's so awesome that you when you can tune into it, if I could spend, my goal has been to get to a point where everything's an automatic positive thought direction, and I would love to get to that place.
To be there? Won't that be fantastic? Oh. I mean, I've been thinking about that for the last few years now. Man, to get to that point and to live life there, whoa!
Wow, it is so amazing. And right before you and I connected today, I was listening to some Abraham Hicks stuff, and mm-hmm. And they were, on point as usual, and they were, the lesson for today, I have the app on my iPhone of, and they have a sort of a lesson of the day,
uh-huh.
And it's along the lines of what we were talking about, that when you have to view the tide, it's almost like the tide is coming in, and you have to reverse the tide, the tide of your programming, the genetic, what we've been handed down, the negativity, how our parents unintentionally programmed us negative and their parents unintentionally. And so to go against your base programming, when something happens, the default mechanism in your brain automatically goes back to that default programming. And it takes years and years to program it where that doesn't become such a default, and unless you get to it early enough in life where you haven't had so many years of that programming. And that was such a, the talk was when they were going over all of this, they were hoping that, you know, the lady brought the question up. She's like, I just can't stop the negative thoughts. And the lady, Ms. Hicks, said, yes, you can, but you already believe you can't. You just said you can't.
Right. The words are so important. In fact, that's something I picked up recently from Sean Aker, the studies that show that the words that you use, even unintentionally, create mindsets that can work against you if
Absolutely.
You choose the wrong words.
Yes. I was riding in the, my son TJ and my son Chris, many years ago, we were in South Carolina. And just a brief synopsis, I adopted both of my boys from foster care, and they had amazing turnarounds, but both had very difficult early upbringings. And we were going down a back road, and I remember this so clearly. And somehow we were, I don't know exactly what we were talking about, but I remember a statement that my son made. TJ said, he goes, I'm not that smart. You know I'm not that smart anyway. And I slammed on my brakes. And it came close to yelling, but I didn't. But I was so passionate about it. But he understood what I meant by this. It wasn't yelling in a bad way. I said, son, you could not read when you came to me. You learned to read on a grade level in 6 months. You have brought your grades up. You cannot. And I went on and told him, I said, I can tolerate your behavior in so many areas. I will not tolerate this negative self-talk and a belief that you aren't smart or that you. Look what you've overcome. And that was a lesson for both boys, but I was so adamant about it. Unfortunately, I was on a back road. We didn't cause an accident.
That's good, yeah.
But years later, TJ repeated, we were having dinner, and he said, do you remember when you told me that? And he said, I never have called myself stupid, even internally, since then.
Wow.
And he said, that made a big impact on me. And he did. He wasn't trying to be negative when he said it, but it was just one of these. He just, well, you know, I'm not that smart anyway. I turned red. I slammed on my brakes. I said, that is not acceptable. That is not something I can allow in my house.
And ultimately, that's what each of us needs to learn to do. We need to mentally slam on the brakes. We preferably don't want to actually do it in traffic.
Exactly.
But in our lives, we slam on the brakes and stop and say, no, what on earth did I just say? I want the opposite of what I just said. So yes. I'm going to turn around right now and just say it the other way around so that I don't get hung up on this craziness that happens when you say negative things and produce negative results for you. I mean, I don't need that. I got enough that I'm trying to overcome as it is. I don't need to make the road even harder to follow.
Well, that is exactly what, you know, the slamming on the brakes. I love the analogy of in real life of even the mental slamming on the brakes. That's how you stop this, because it becomes such a default way of thinking that it we unintentionally are inviting. That's how. This is why it doesn't work in people's favor. Is they're saying I'm saying my gratitude list. I'm making my vision board for those that believe in that. I'm doing these things, but yet the results are yielding differently. See, that's what I'm expecting. And deep down, you really get them to admit that inner dialogue is not matching what they're trying. That's why you have to change it. It isn't just saying it. It's truly believing it.
I was out on one of my walks the other day. I try to get out, even during the winter, I try to get out to walk for about 4 or 5 miles because it's a nice activity. It's very relaxing and it feels good. Even when it's cold, I still feel good doing it. In fact, I miss it when I can't do it. Well, the other day I was doing one of my walks. And as I was out there, I was noticing my mind going really negative. I mean, I was going negative in this direction and that direction. It was all over the place. And I was literally hitting the brakes every few minutes. Stop. No, I'm not going there. And then stop. No, I'm not going there either. And anybody who passed me must have thought I was mentally ill or something because I kept shouting out, no, stop that. But that's what I kept doing over and over again. I'm thinking, what on earth is going on? And I finally realized, oh, I'm going in default mode. I'm not actually intending anything right now. No wonder all these thoughts are coming to me. And then I said, oh, all right. Well, let's see. Let's pick an intention, something that I want to happen. And I drew a blank. because I've been working on all these negative default things going my way. And I had to stop this. I literally had to stop myself in the middle of the walk, stop myself from moving and say, what are one of the things I want to have happen in my life? Not the bad ones, the good ones. And I finally found one. I said, okay, I'm going to focus on that one. And it lasted 2 minutes, and then another one came my way that was bad. And I said, no, stop, hit the brakes.
And that's such a, when you can start applying the brakes and then realizing that this is what we're bringing about. This is, the thoughts are so incredibly powerful, and your focus worrying about things is literally praying just the same as praying for what you don't want. It's like you're dragging this stuff to you by worrying about them or focusing on them or all the negative things that are going to happen, or this person isn't going to respond, or this person that, you know, when you don't apply these principles at a thought level, not just a verbal level, but at a thought level, then that's where the law of attraction tends to go with. It goes with the thought. It goes with the core of your beliefs. It, no matter what you're saying, if it doesn't match your thoughts, it's going with the thoughts. And that's what you discovered is I have to stop this process, and at all costs, there is nothing more powerful in the universe at our disposal than our thoughts and that inner dialogue. Nothing. And yet we abuse ourselves internally.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And
true.
It's so destructive, and you hear that with kids. You hear that with. You know, I was at the gym last week, and I posted a long post on Facebook about this, and I just happened to be walking by. This time of year, there's a lot of new people in the gym, and there's a young lady. She probably was 17 or 18 years old, and I'm crossing. I have my earphones in, but I still can hear everything, and I heard her say, "I am such a loser." And I don't know her, and she's so young. I was like, oh my goodness, it'd be, you know, I regret on some level that I didn't just stick my hand out, introduce myself, and tell her that that's not even remotely accurate. But I didn't, to be honest. I just, you know, she's 17-year-old girls, like, you just stay away. But the process that she's putting herself through is, I hear that all the time. I see people's faces when they're thinking that. I see the defeat, and that's exactly what goes on internally. This, I'm such a loser. This didn't work out like I wanted, so automatically, obviously, everything's falling apart. And the idea that, first of all, you're bringing about what you're thinking about. If it didn't work out, then it wasn't what you were intending to in the first place. But even if it didn't work out, you've got to look at what the positive of it not working out is. And you've got to look at, this is my life. At this moment in my life, you know, there's a lot of talk of how the law of attraction is sort of the power of now, and learning to live in the now is a powerful, sort of a powerful tool to use in the law of attraction. Because, like you said, you couldn't get to what you wanted in your thinking. And all you could do is kept thinking about what you didn't want, how the negative stuff. But there's also there's sort of a timeout period for the law of attraction. If you can just get to neutral for a moment and then go over, you know, at this moment things are great. At this exact moment things are great in my life. Yesterday's irrelevant. I can't change it. Tomorrow's not promised. But at this moment things are actually pretty good.
It's interesting you mentioned neutral, because I've also since learned that neutral also means negative, which is really, really frustrating.
Well, it is, but it can be a stopping off point.
But that's the point. It's moving up the scale.
Yeah.
If you're lower on the scale than neutral, then moving to neutral is moving in the right direction.
Exactly.
It doesn't mean you should stop there. You should keep going. You should moving
to
the next
level.
Neutral
is simply, and that's the key, neutral is a timeout point. I got to stop the bleeding, so to speak.
Right.
So neutral for 5 minutes is so much better than staying in the negative.
But exactly.
Staying neutral is accepting everything as it is. It's not accepting what you want. It's not bringing about what you want. But neutral is better than negative. And understanding that's a better stopping all point. And this is all part of the learning process. So when people hear all of this, in the beginning it sounds so simple. Just have a good attitude and good things will happen. Well, It is that simple. Unfortunately, we've been programmed, as we said throughout this show, for generations, and not literally for generations. You sit around and listen to certain families at dinner, and you hear nothing but negative talk. You hear the limitations that you can't do that. You can't. We can't afford this. We can't do this. And there's all the things they can't do. There's very little talk about what they can do.
That's because all the things that we can't do are legion. There's a huge number of them.
Yes.
So it's an endless series of things. Oh, we could focus on this. We can't do it. We could focus on that. We can't do it. We could just continue to focus on stuff we can't do endlessly because there's such a long number of them.
Right. I had a young man tell me this week, he said, you know, I don't see the point of all this. He said, we got global warming and the world's going to blow up anyway. What difference does it make? I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, he's really absorbed the programming well.
Yeah, I said, he laughs at this because I said, you know the great news about your attitude? And he sort of had this look, and I go, we have a lot of room for improvement. We got, he laughed. And after we had a couple sessions this week, and he is thinking differently. And it's going to take a long time to change it, not because the law of attraction requires time, but it's going to take a long time for him to accept the reprogramming. But it literally is that. And I think you mentioned
actually
earlier,
may not. I mean, we don't want to put that limitation on. I mean, it may not take him a long time. It could. It could.
The only reason it's going to take him a long time is he has said it's going to take me a long time.
Well, then it's guaranteed.
Then you're guaranteed. But one of the terms that I have heard people say where they equated the cult-like status of the law of attraction to the law of attraction was the programming concept. They said, well, you're talking about programming. You know, that's what cults do. They program your mind. I said, we're reprogramming the negative. If you want to hear the ultimate cult is negative thinking. It's self-doubt.
Yeah. It's the unrecognized cult.
Yes. It is the one that is convincing you of the limitations that you have placed on yourself, that there is no way to get out of these patterns. And
I love Mike Dooley's take on this. He likes to point out that you can keep coming out with things like, you know, no matter what, I can't beat this money thing. I mean, I know the law of attraction works. I know that I'm able to attract other things in my life, but I just can't. I can't seem to overcome the money part. Why is that so difficult for me? I just can't overcome it. And his response is, the universe keeps hearing you, and the universe keeps saying over and over again, I heard you the first 50 times. I guarantee the money's not coming, okay? So relax.
Yeah. And that's the perfect example. The universe doesn't need to be repeatedly told it can't. Yeah, I'm good with that. And that is where it goes back to the idea of us looking at our lives and taking away the programming that we are limited in what we deserve. We don't believe that the universe can provide this stuff for us. We don't think we can provide it for ourselves. And once you are so far deep into that, you know, whether it applies to your health, and I know we often talk about money, but it applies to your health, it applies to your relationships. There's just so many levels that the law of attraction is at work that we don't realize. We just keep the self-destructive patterns, and the positives, you know, we feel a little bit of it, but that reprogramming, we go back to that default mode. And you have to say, okay, no, stop, go forward. The idea that applying what I want is really the answer, but applying it to my thoughts, applying it to my beliefs. You know, you and I have talked about this before. I use props in my law of attraction stuff. I've added a zero to my bank account before and really believed I had that money in there, and I eventually ended up with that money in there. I lived as if that money was in there. That doesn't mean I'm out blowing money. It just means that I just believe that money was in there. And that process for me, it helps me to have a visual. It helps me to put something on paper, to see that grow and eventually finding amazing that I match what happens.
And perhaps most important of all, it's giving you a way to say a positive thing rather than a negative thing.
Yes.
Which is what breaks the programming. Because ultimately, I think the most challenging thing about the whole law of attraction concept is actually trying to say the positive. And trying to, first of all, figure out what the positive is.
Yes.
You know, that alone takes a lot of mental energy when you're not used to doing it. And then, even when you've come up with it, convincing yourself to actually say it. Like, no, that's not true. I know that's not true. And you have to overcome that and say, it is true. I'm holding on as tight as I can. It's true, for goodness sake. I don't believe it, but it's still true.
that's the battle. So as we take this message out, and as people hear, we have no agenda. I think people they get skeptical.
I have one agenda. My agenda is to improve myself.
That's right. Yes, we have no agenda except self improvement. That's the reason we do this show. We believe it. I'll be glad to share with our audience our massive checks we get for doing the show. but the truth is, we do this out of a love for doing this.
Absolutely.
I do believe one day that this message will be a much larger audience. I have no doubt about that.
Yep, me too.
Because this process that we're doing, we're bringing this to the attention of others because we've seen, by practicing it to the best of our ability, which still has a lot of room for improvement for both of us, we have seen our lives change because of this.
And it shows up in the weirdest ways. That's the thing that gets me. It seems like it should be linear. It seems like it should be, you make a change and you instantly get the result along the line that you want it to be. And it never works out that way.
Yes.
Or not never, but it often doesn't work out that way. And that's jarring. It doesn't feel right at first. And you say, well, I think that's where a lot of the doubt comes from. Because how could it be, if I put out a certain intention and I get another intention that's similar but not what I'm looking for, how could I say that there's a relationship between them? That's the feeling that we get. In fact, there is a relationship, but it takes us a while to recognize it. It takes us a while to come to terms with, wow, those really are related. That's the scary part.
Yeah, the rearview mirror of life allows us to see how it came together at that point. While you're in the middle of it, it's often hard to see the direct connection because it doesn't, I've asked for things or I've wanted things, and I later realized, oh my goodness, it came about exactly as I asked for it. Now, I didn't ask for it the way I really wanted it, but it came about exactly as I asked for it or feeling it.
And even when it comes out exactly like I asked for it, it never happens the way I think it's going to happen.
Right. Well, it's been, one of my contentions for a long time, I will, as many of our listeners know, I'm a recovering compulsive gambler. And for me, gambling is always going to be a negative. Gambling represents a lack to me. When I was gambling, I was chasing money. So there will never be an event where I can gamble where it's not a negative for me. It's just, I can't change that because for so long it was such a negative. So I was asked, what was it last week? There was a 2 weeks ago, there's $1 billion, Powerball jackpot.
Yeah, the $1.5 billion Powerball. Yeah,
right.
That was big.
And someone asked me, says, you haven't gambled in a long time. Do you buy any tickets? And I go, no. I said, it would. And of course, the person wanted to ask, well, do you think that will make you gamble again? I said, I don't know about all that. I said, what it represents to me, if I were to go buy that, it would represent to me a negative attached to, I use gambling as such a negative. It represents a lack of money to me. So if I were to go buy that, Powerball's a gambling for me, I would then put to the universe that you have a lack. Now, that's just me. I can't change that belief. But it's identifying.
Well, the fact that you've chosen to say that you can't change it proves that you can't change it.
I can't,
That's the direct connection right there.
And so instead of me debating that, if I were to go against what my core belief now is that I can't change this, and then go buy that Powerball ticket, there's no chance I'm going to win because I truly don't believe I can. It represents a lack to me. And I would think that I would have other events in my life if I didn't start gambling again and go into full relapse. But there would be other events, because I have an abundance in my life, and I live that, I believe that, and because of that, I am in a great place.
In fact, I remember one of the comments made by, I think there were three winners of that Powerball, and the first one that came forward was a couple in Tennessee. Their comment was that winning the Powerball was going to make no change in their life, meaning that it wasn't a big deal to them, so they weren't focused on it. And that's probably a major contributing factor about why they won.
Well, it's that right balance, because in one of our previous shows, we talked about when you want something too much, you actually again, it's that balance. It's wanting it, but not obsessed about it. It's believing it,
right?
But it it's such a
because the obsession is the negative side. It's not the positive side.
Exactly. And you know, I saw where this young lady had. She posted on Facebook, she cashed out her savings of a couple $1,000 to buy Powerball tickets, and she didn't win. It's like, wow. You know,
yeah.
And she said, I really thought I was going to win, and but yet you heard in her comments below that, you know, she was desperate. She was obsessed. And
well, plus, if you want me to be able to identify who is not going to win, just show me the ones who buy more than one ticket. Because I know for certain they're not going to win the big one. They may win a small prize, but they'll never win the big one.
Oh,
right. And they can't, because the fact that they're buying more than one ticket means they don't really think it only takes one ticket.
Well, and that's such a key point. You know, buying the one ticket is, okay, I'm going to win this, or I'm going to, they buy it. It's not going to change my life. This would be a nice addition. You know, whatever that exact mindset to win it, one ticket will do it. You don't need 20 tickets.
I'll tell you the direct story that happened to me. Now, this isn't a Powerball type lottery. This is a little tiny one, but it illustrates the point really nicely. When I was in high school, they had some sort of a fundraiser they were doing. I don't even remember what they were fundraising for. It may have been for a club. I have no idea what it was. But there were these students who were doing this fundraiser, and they were selling tickets for their drawing at 25 cents a ticket. And one friend came up to me, and he's trying to convinced me to buy into this thing. And I was in the library at the time, trying to do something I rarely did, which was to actually study in the library. And you know, here I am doing some reading and so forth, and he's interrupting me with this ticket. And I don't care about this ticket. Just go away. And he just pestered me. I said, look, if I buy one ticket from you, do you promise to leave me alone? And he said, okay, I promise. And so I gave him a quarter. He gave me the ticket, and that's the last I thought about it until about 2 weeks later, when the principal announced over the loudspeaker system to the entire school during homeroom period that Walt Thiessen needed to come to the office. And there was like this pause, and I'm thinking, I never get called to the office. I mean, I was like a wallflower. I never got in trouble with anything. Why on earth was I being called to the office? And then after the pause, he said, because he just won the drawing for the clock radio that we're giving away. And I'm thinking to myself, what drawing?
Yes, and that's the way you see how this stuff works. And I want everybody, I want our audience, part of what the main reason we do this is I believe not only are we reinforcing what you and I believe, this helps me every week when we do this show, but I want for our audience to understand the chains of negative thinking that they've lived in, have created this environment where you're not fulfilled. You don't have to live that way. And this answer of the law of attraction is incredibly simple, / the hardest thing you'll ever do at the same time. Not because the law of attraction is difficult, it is incredibly simple. We have made it complicated by the diverse, the opposite belief system we have going on all at the same time. And it the universe is just picking up on our confusion or the lack of, or it's amazing when you put it out there and you do it like you're talking about with a lottery ticket, and it's not even a big deal. You just put it out there. You got it. Boom.
To the point where I'd even forgotten I'd even bought the darn
right.
thing.
Right, and that was such a cool thing, and you know I was behind this gentleman, and I'm not judging who another person is, but I could tell that he was an older gentleman, didn't seem to have much money, and he literally bought I had to pick up some stuff at the convenience store. He literally bought $200 worth of Powerball tickets, and none of my business. And so I wanted desperately to say to him, "Friend, buy one. If you win, that's great. But I promise you, you're not getting your $200 back."
Yeah.
I wanted to say that so bad because he was putting everything out there based on a negative view of a lack of. And that's the piece that you know, could always laugh that, you know, there's oftentimes people with money win the lottery. You know, you'll see this guy's like a business owner, he won the lottery. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, a lot of that's brought to the attention. But where we go, you know, the original topic of that shock to people of when they first hear what we're talking about, that, you know, we filled in the blanks pretty well today about, wow, this, what the heck are you talking about?
Fortunately, there's now at least an answer. The answer is, what we're talking about is what you've been doing to yourself all this time that you don't have to keep doing.
Yes.
The nice thing is, you stop doing that, you turn it around by deliberately blocking those negatives and saying, anytime I notice a negative thought, I'm going to switch it to a positive thought. And that action alone changes your life.
Yeah.
You don't even have to believe in the law of attraction, folks. Just do that one exercise. Do it consistently for whatever. Like the 30 days, people like the 30-day plans. Do it for 30 days. It doesn't really matter. The point is, just do it consistently for a while, and things will happen. And that's when you'll say, it isn't what the heck are you talking about? It's what the heck's going on with the universe?
and that's so awesome when we look that we've been given this superpower. It is really, it's sort of the answer to what you've been seeking. But yet the ironic thing has been the superpower that we've been given has been programmed against. We have been programmed against implementing it for generations. That's the amazing thing to me. And when we realize
And the impressive thing is that we're waking up and saying, oh, it doesn't have to be that way.
It doesn't have to be at all. There's zero reason that it has to be that way. But it just, I mean, I hear little kids all the time. You're around kids sometimes. You hear that they're just mimicking. You know, 6 year olds are mimicking their mom. Well, there's no way that can happen. Or there's I can't do that. I don't know how many times I've heard a 6 year old go, well, I can't do that. And I'm like, you're six. You can do whatever you want to do. There's no limit.
Right.
You're six. I mean, come on. You. Well, I could never be president. Well, first of all, who would want to be? But if you did, you know.
Well, yeah. Maybe you like to have, you know, your hair turn white. Or, well, actually, in my case, it's already there, but still.
Yeah, exactly. So,
well, anyway, this has been absolutely great. As usual, we've used up an hour much faster than we thought we would have, but I'm glad that we did it because this was worthwhile. And if anybody was listening and who started off with the question, what the hell are you talking about? Oh, did I say that word? Well, it turns out what we're talking about actually makes sense, but only if you try it.
That's so true, Walt. I really appreciate today. It actually helped boost me up. I can't wait till we get together again next week.
Me too. And we'll see you all next time here on LOA Today. Goodbye, everybody.
It might seem crazy what I'm about to say. Friends to you, don't waste your time.